All right, Julie.
Yes.
All right, Bruce.
Good morning. Oh. So I'll just wait till Richard's settled. I was yeah, exactly. Oh, nearly got it in the eye. Great. Oh, start again. Good morning. So our message today is preparing for the best. It's just so wonderful. We come together as one family, one body, to praise our Lord Jesus. And we might come this morning with battles that we've won, or we might still be struggling in the fight. That is how it is. We do suffer. But we can come here and lift Jesus. And that's what we're here to do, to praise him and thank him for all he is to us. So we're going to sing with one heart and one voice, Come People of the Risen King. I know Deborah likes this one, so she's going to be up dancing.
Delight to bring him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of praise. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to him. Where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice.
pray before we sing, He is Exalted.
Lord, it's so good to come into your presence. And Lord, it's so good to be with brothers and sisters worshipping you in spirit and in truth. So Lord, we want to continue praising you this morning and thanking you for all that you have done and do and will do in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to sing, He is Exalted.
Parts of the world, you won't be surprised to know that as I prepared this prayer, the need for peace was very much on my own mind. Let us pray. Lord, you created a perfect world, but things changed. Mankind have gone their own way, and there has been disruption and unrest. There have been wars and disagreements between nations, between leaders, between continents, and within countries. Also, organizations, families, and individuals have played their part in spoiling your world. Whereas we know that it was your desire that there should be peace throughout the world. We earnestly come to you, Lord, to pray for peace in all places and among all people. May we all strive to work for peace, leaving no stone unturned as we speak out and oppose all that divides our world. How wonderful it would be if we all learnt to reveal and live by your peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Dear Lord, may we see an end to all behavior which prevents your will being obeyed and for peace to reign eternally. Also, Lord, help us in our own witness. As we are challenged in the message that is to come, help us to show love to all people. May we cultivate the true Christian love in all that we do. May we follow your example. May we adopt a caring and courteous attitude, being humble and loving at all times. We pray, Lord, for the church here, and we thank you, Lord, that at long last it has been agreed that we can contact the lottery and the porter cabin people, because the ground has been cleared and is ready for us to go ahead. There was a covenant on it, but that has been released. And so, Lord, we look forward to all that may be within your will for our future in that space. We pray, Lord, for each other. We pray for our families. And especially we want to pray for John and Margaret. They're not able to go out, Lord, confined to their own home unless someone takes them. Lord, be their company. We pray for David. Lord, we pray that he will continue to recover from that cancer. We pray for April. Lord, it's frustrating to hear that she has still not heard anything concrete. Oh Lord, be with her. Keep her strong. Keep her patient. And may she hear soon how they're going to go forward. We pray for Jean and for Stuart. Stuart now in Brixham Hospital. Lord, not easy. And we thank you for the people that have been helping Jean to get places. Think of Sarah, and we think of Jean's own daughter. But Lord, we know it's not an easy time. We'd love to see healing for Stuart. But Lord, we ask you to be with Jean and Stuart and be with the wider family. But Lord, what we want is for you to give to them all that they need at this particular time. We pray for Richard. Lord, it's not good when you have problems with your sight. And we'd love to see a miracle there for Richard. We'd love to see healing, Lord. Help him, Lord, to be patient. But Lord, we thank you for the way that, despite the problem, you are using him in your ministry. We pray for Rita. Rita sees the surgeon next Tuesday concerning her hip. We pray, Lord, that that meeting will be a good meeting and the right decisions will be made. We pray for Sarah as she goes up to York. Keep her safe as she travels. Be with her and all involved in the funeral that Sarah is going to. And Lord, for each one of us, we want more of you in our lives. Fill us, Lord, with the power of the Spirit. Work in us, renew us, strengthen us. Oh Lord, we need you and we need your love and your protection. Lord, be with each one and help us, Lord, to know more and more about your will, both for our church and for ourselves as individuals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And as we continue praising the Lord, and Bruce just spoke then about the Holy Spirit being with us, and we are temples of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is enthroned within us. So we're going to sing, Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you our King.
Thinking I hadn't. So I got in touch with Deborah and said, hey, can you read tomorrow? And so Deborah, I trust no one else was given the reading. Good. Right, so over to Deborah then, please.
The Bible reading this morning is from 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 17, suffering for doing good. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and sees good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
Amen.
So picking up on verse 14, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. So his plans will not be thwarted, but we mustn't fear. And we need to remember Christ as Lord. So this song, Higher Than a Mountain, covers all those points that we just read about. So Higher Than a Mountain.
However it may seem.
Can I ask for a moment for your prayers for me next weekend? On Saturday, it's Armistice Day, and so a small crowd meet around the war memorial in Newton Abbot, and I take that service. And then on Sunday, of course, usually a few thousand people present, we have our Remembrance Sunday service. And I am finding it more difficult to stand for a long time. But of course, that's what is required on that particular Sunday. So I'd value your prayers that I will have the strength to do what I'm called for to do. Don't often ask for prayers for myself, but it's almost 20 years that I've been chaplain, and I want to finish as strong as I can. Right, preparing for the best. Well, the best is surely to come. One day, we will be with our Lord in glory. There can't be anything better than that. So how do we prepare? Well, I have, what is it, 3 points? No. Yes, 3 points for us. The first one, looking at verses 8 to 12, we need to cultivate Christian love. Cultivate Christian love, true love. We should begin with love for God's people. Just as the whole law is summed up in love, so the whole of human relationships is also fulfilled in love. And this applies to every Christian and to every area of life. This love is evidenced in a unity of mind. Unity does not mean uniformity. It means cooperation in the midst of diversity. In other words, the members of the body, the members of God's church, are to work together in unity. And as we do so, we seek to cultivate that love that surely we saw in Jesus' own ministry here on earth. And another evidence of love, yes, unity, but is compassion. In other words, a sincere feeling for and with the needs of others. We need to have compassion for all people. We dare not get hard-hearted towards each other. We must share both our joys and our trials. And the basis for this is the fact that we are brethren, brothers and sisters in the same family. We're God's family. We are one together. And we are taught of God that we must love one another. You could say love reveals itself in pity. What do I mean? Well, a tenderness of heart towards others. Today, we are deluged with so much bad news that it's easy for us to get isolated and unfeeling. We need to cultivate compassion and be active in showing other people that we are truly concerned for them. being courteous involves much more than acting like a lady or a gentleman. We need to be humble-minded, and it's a good translation. And after all, humility is surely the foundation for courtesy. For the humble person puts others ahead of themselves. So not only should we love God's people, we should also love our enemies. We should love all people. We should love one another. We should love our enemies. We should love life. At first, we must deliberately decide to love life itself. Second, we must control our tongues. Third, we must do good and hate evil. And finally, we must seek and pursue peace. So, number one, we are to seek to cultivate Christian love, a love that shows no barriers at all. Secondly, may not find this easy, verses 13 to 15, we are to practice the lordship of Christ. Who is Lord of our lives? It must be our Lord. He must be the true Lord. He is the true Lord. We've got to practice the lordship of Christ in our lives. But people have got to see that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord in all that we do. He is Lord in all that we say. He is Lord in all that we think. When Jesus is Lord of our lives, each crisis becomes an opportunity for witness. We are ready, we should be, always to give an answer. Every Christian should be able to give a reasoned defense of our hope in Jesus, especially in hopeless situations. A crisis creates the opportunity for faithful witness. And when a believer behaves with faith and hope, then the unbelievers will sit up and they'll take notice. But if we don't show it, they won't see it. This witness must be given meekness and respect. Yes, there must be no arrogance, we know it all attitude. That's got to go. We are witnesses, not prosecuting eternity. What does it mean then to sanctify Jesus as Lord? Jesus as Lord in our hearts. What does it mean? Well, it means to turn everything over to Him and to live only to please Him and, of course, to glorify Him. Practice the lordship of Christ. Is He truly Lord in our lives? Finally, number three, verses 16 to 17, we are to maintain a good conscience. I wonder what our consciences are like. How does a good conscience help a believer in times of trial and opposition? For one thing, it fortifies us. It fortifies us with courage, because now we are right with God if we have a good conscience. We will be right with all people, so we will have no need to be afraid. But, my friends, a good conscience also gives us peace in our hearts. And you know, when we have peace within, we can face battles without. Peace within, and we can achieve so much more because we have God's peace within us, and the way that we tackle things will be so different. At times of difficulty, or as times of difficulty come to the church in general, we must cultivate that Christian love. For we will need one another. We will need another's help and encouragement as never before. So when things are difficult, we need encouragement. We need Christian love. And we must also maintain a good conscience, because a good conscience makes for a strong backbone and also for a courageous witness. Oh, that we should have a courageous witness, my friends. The secret is to practice the Lordship of Christ. Because if we fear God, we need not fear men. Shame arises from the fear of men, said Samuel Johnson. Conscience from the fear of God. So can I just share with you? True Christians reveals itself, or true Christianity and that true love reveals itself in a love which has no barriers at all, but which is shown towards everyone. And can I remind you of what Paul says in Corinthians? He's been talking about things in general, and then he says, there are these three, faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. What love do we show for our Lord? Do we show true love for Him? Do we show true love for our families? Do we show true love for each and every member of our church? Do we show love for people that we find it very, very hard to be friendly with? Love your enemies, it says. You know, to take this kind of challenge, we need to cultivate Christian love. We need to do things together. We need to be one in Christ. And if we are, then our witness will be effective. My friends, if we do sincerely want to prepare for the best, if we are working towards the day when we will be with our Lord in glory, then surely we have a lot to do. We need to be faithful in our witness, and we need to be true people of love without any barrier, without any problem preventing it. For we are one in Christ Jesus. And one day we will be, as He has promised, as true believers with Him in glory. Praise God. Amen. Follows this.
Yep. And it shows us how we can't do it without Him. So, Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing.
Because we know that he died for us on the cross. We come and we know and recognize that not only did he die, but he rose again from the dead, and our Jesus is alive forevermore. So we can come, we can bring our concerns and our problems to him, and we must realize and believe that within his will, he will deal with them. The invitation is to come like the disciples came, ready to do whatever the Lord requires of us. May we come with thankful hearts. May we come in humility. And may we go in confidence. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we take this bread and wine, we do so in remembrance of the Lord Jesus, who gave his very life for us. This is just bread and wine, but it is very precious because it is a symbol of the Lord's body and blood given for us. And we remember that when Jesus gave the bread and wine to his disciples, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And so, Lord, as we take this bread and wine, may we do it with sincerity, but may we be serious in what we're doing. May we be truly thankful for the wonderful salvation that is ours, because by grace Jesus made it possible. Amen. So we remember that Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat this. This is my body given for you." And we know that then Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it," said Jesus, "do this in memory of me." And so we will take the cup and we will drink it in true remembrance of a wonderful Saviour. We keep our glass so that we might all drink together. Jesus shed his blood for us. Let us drink and be truly thankful. Let us pray. Let us go to our families and friends and to our homes, knowing that the Lord Jesus will be with us. Let us go in peace, loving and serving our Lord. And may we know that He is always there for us, always ready to hear our prayers, for our God is faithful, and He will be faithful forevermore. Amen.
So we're going to finish with, "For I'm building a people of power. Build your church, Lord. Make us strong, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord, through your Son. Make us one, Lord, in your body, in the kingdom of your Son."